turn in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 4. We'll be spending a lot of time in James 4 today, but looking at other scriptures. This is a message that God laid on my heart a few weeks ago. And then when I found out what Raylene was going to speak on last week, I thought, well, I guess she's going to preach it. But then as she was sharing, I felt that what I had to share was similar, but not, well, different, but complementary to what she was going to share. How many this morning, regarding your relationship with Christ, are thankful for the many things that He gives you? He gives us so much. We could go on and on this morning talking about the love of God, the mercy that He extends to us, the peace, the forgiveness that we have through the blood of Jesus, and the great joy that we have even in the midst of trial and sorrow. But serving Jesus is not only about receiving, it's giving. Because the life in Christ is a life of obedience. Matthew 16:24, the Bible says, Jesus said to His disciples, "Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Me." Jesus reiterated the calling of obedience to His disciples in John chapter 15, verse 14. When He said to them, "You are My friends if you do what I command." Obedience is something that at some times in our lives is easy because God calls us to do things that we don't mind doing or sometimes we like to do. One of the things I like to do is preach. I don't know why. I'm glad I do. I'd be kind of miserable. Actually, I wouldn't. I'd be blessed, even if I didn't. But there are things that God has called me to do as a pastor and also as a man that I don't enjoy doing. It is against my will to do, but I still have the responsibility because I am a servant. Since I have accepted Christ as my Savior, I am His servant. I have the responsibility to do those things. So in order to live the happy life that God has intended me to live, the fruitful life, the fulfilled life that God has called me to live, I need to be obedient, which means I need to be submissive to the will of God. The text this morning is from the first part of James chapter 4, verse 7, which simply reads, "Submit yourselves then to God." Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's Word together this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the great grace that You have given us because of the death and resurrection of Your dear Son, Jesus. We thank You for the presence of God in this place, for touching, Lord, our time of worship and praise, for touching our time of sharing with one another, touching our prayer time, O God. Lord, in advance, we thank You for touching our time in the Word. We pray for the anointing of God to rest upon Your servant this morning. Give, Lord, me words to share. Give us all ears to hear what Your Holy Spirit would have us to understand this morning. And we ask this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. In order for us, as I've just mentioned a few moments ago, in order for us to fulfill the call of God upon our lives, which can simply be stated to be obedient to His will and to His Word. And I don't mean to digress, but we have clear direction in Scripture as far as what the will of God is for our life. Righteousness, service, ministry. We're called to be witnesses. There's instruction in how we're to treat one another, how we're to treat people who don't know Christ, how we're to treat our family members, our elders, how we're to treat those who persecute us. And who, as Jesus said, speak all manner of evil against us. All those things are in the Word of God. And if we're to fulfill that calling, if we are to be obedient, we must be submissive. That word submit literally means to rank under. It has a military feel or sense to it. Now, I never served in the military, except I think I'm the second lieutenant in my household. No, I'm just kidding. I knew my wife would appreciate that. But those, especially in this area where almost everyone who lives here has somehow been affected by the military, there's an understanding of what it means to rank under or to submit to a higher authority. It means to yield yourself to one's wishes who is over you, whether you agree with those wishes or not. And one of the important qualities of submission, especially godly submission, is that it is an act of our will. As far as obedience, God will never make us do what He wants us to do. He will compel us. He compels us to accept Him personally as our Savior. And after we accept Jesus Christ personally as our Savior, He compels us to walk after Him and live for Him. But He'll never make us do that. He'll never make you, force you against your will to tell the truth, or to share the gospel, or to pray, or to read your Bible, or do all the many things that we've talked about in these last few weeks about worship. He'll never make you do those things. He'll compel you. Whether you obey God or not depends on whether or not you have a submissive spirit. I think the greatest definition, if we're going to look at a definition by example of what submissiveness is the example of Jesus Christ Himself. Can you imagine? Jesus, the Creator of the universe, all things were created by Him and for Him. He spoke, you know, Jesus is the Word made flesh. He spoke and the world came into being and then came into order and then life was given. Jesus, who created all things, when He came to this earth, humbled Himself and became a servant, the Son of Man. We see this especially, we see it throughout His life. How He served, He submitted to His parents when He was young. And actually, as He was older, the first miracle in John chapter 2 that Jesus performed, He did so at the request of His mother. He submitted Himself to Caesar. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, and unto God that which is God's. Told Peter to go fishing, and you'll find my taxes there. I've been trying that trick myself. It hasn't worked too good. But I think the moment that clearly defines or most in the greatest way defines the submissive nature of Jesus Christ was Christ in the garden as He agonized over the ultimate call that was upon His life, that to give His life as a ransom for many. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, He said to the Father as His death was impending, Father, if You are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. I don't quite understand it. I know God is one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But within the Godhead, there was at that moment a conflict of wills in the three persons of the one God. Where the Son, as He looked at what He was going to take upon Himself, the sin of the world, and be forsaken by the Father, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Ask God, if there be any way, this is not my will, if there be any way, take this cup from me. But as one who was not only perfect in authority, perfect in submission, said, not my will, but thine be done. He allowed himself to be arrested, beaten, tortured, nailed to the wooden cross, crucified. Let me tell you, my friend, if I could just for a moment, and I'm actually going to almost conclude, and I'm not concluding. In this one example, we see the great blessing of submission, even in the ministry of Christ. The next verse in Luke chapter 22, verse 43, the Bible says, as He was praying and as He was willingly yielding His will to that of the Father, the Bible says an angel from heaven appeared to Him and strengthened Him. Let me tell you, submissive may be something that is at times repulsive to us, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. But when we willingly lay down our will to accomplish the will of our Heavenly Father, there is great blessing. For Jesus Christ came to live life as an example for us. And if Jesus Christ was ministered to by an angel, how much more so will God minister to us when yielding our will to His will carries with it a great weight? But not only is there great power when we submit our will to God, but there's also great joy. Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah! Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Yes, there was weeping. He sweat, as it were, drops of blood as He agonized in the garden. But when He rose in power, He rose in great joy for two reasons. Number one, He accomplished the will of His Heavenly Father, and so is the glory of the Father and the approval of the Father rested on Him. But number two, He also ransomed mankind. Listen, when we submit our will to the will of our Heavenly Father, although to our flesh it may not be something that we want or desire, to our spirit it will grant us great joy. In the body of Christ, we need submission. Submission is necessary for order. 1 Corinthians 14, the Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. Because when things are out of order, it's chaos and no one's happy. We were just visiting my mom yesterday. She lives over in Massachusetts. And we drove by this store. It's been there forever since I remember. It's called Goldstein's. And when you walk in this store, it's not very big. It's about a third of the size of this sanctuary. And it's got stuff all the way up to the ceiling, literally. And if you want to find something, if you've got all day, you might find it. But you need to find the owner, and he'll tell you where. He knows exactly where it is. He's got everything mapped out. And it's one of those stores where if you can't find something, he's got it. That's why they've been in business and so on. But if you were just to go there and you were trying to look for something, there's no method or madness. It would drive you crazy. Just a little while ago, you know, there's one store in town. I won't say what it is. You'll be able to figure it out. They remodeled and they changed everything. They moved the cards and letters over to this spot and the music to this spot and the food to this, you know. It was all different. So when I went in there, I didn't know where I was. And one of the things I hate doing, and maybe it's a guy thing, is asking, can you tell me where this is? We like order. We need order for things to make sense and for things to work. Your body has to be in order. And in order for there to be order, there must be submission. Those things or those people that are under authority need to do what that authority desires. We see it in family. Parents, children need to be obedient to their parents. In the home, Ephesians 5:22, wives are to submit to their husbands. 1 Peter 2:8, the Bible tells us that servants are to submit themselves to their masters. Talking about in the business world. You can't have people doing what they want to do. They have to submit to their boss, whether they agree with their boss or not. Otherwise, what? It's chaos. And in the government, Romans 13:1, let everyone be subject to or submissive to the governing authorities. What would happen if everyone just decided to do whatever they wanted? In the United States of America, all 300 plus million of us. The chaos. It just takes actually a small amount of people to act chaotically or unsubmissively to bring about change. We saw that in the Arab Spring last year. It wasn't in an entire country going to Cairo or the other capitals, Tripoli in Libya. But it was enough chaos to bring down regime. And submission is necessary in the body of Christ. Both as a, you know, one of the images or symbols that were given of the church is a human body. And how a body needs to obey the brain, all the different functions. Your brain, whether you believe it, whether you know it or not, controls your breathing, your heart rate, everything that goes on in your body. And if there is some disorder, you'll get sick and possibly die. The church is also a family, and a family that is out of order, where everyone does what they want to do and they don't recognize authority, as a family in chaos. Or dysfunctional family that lacks love, that is full of frustration, and oftentimes comes to ruin. And so it is with the body of Christ. But submissiveness is something that every one of us who profess Jesus Christ as our Savior struggle with, and I think struggle with all of our lives. Because it's part of human nature. A lot of times we think we're submissive. And I'm speaking of myself this morning. And I'm submissive as long as what God is prompting me to do, or what I read in Scripture God desires me to do, I agree with or I'm comfortable with. When all of a sudden I read something or I feel the Spirit of God speak to my heart about something that I should be doing that I don't agree with, then I'm not as submissive as I would like to be. And there's a reason for that. Because within us, as we live and breathe, there is still remnants of that old nature that is hostile to God. We read about it in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. The Bible in Romans 8 is a great scripture, great chapter. It talks about the contrast between the old life, or the life in the flesh, and the new life in Christ, or life in the Spirit. Romans 8, 7 says, the mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. And I don't have the scripture for you, but in the book of Galatians 5:17, the Bible says, and this is a verse that is spoken to the church or believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the flesh wars against the Spirit. Within us, there's still that old will. It's not dead, it's dying, it's received a mortal wound, but you know, sometimes when someone dies, they try to hold on to life with everything that they've got because they don't want to die. In fact, I was just speaking to someone, they were ministering to someone this week who is critically ill, and need to pray for them. I won't share the situation, but they're afraid to go to sleep. Why? Because they don't want to die. And my flesh and your flesh has received, when you accepted Christ as your Savior, received a death sentence and a death blow. But it still has gasps of air, and it's still holding on to life with every vestige of its being because it doesn't want to let go. It wants to reassert control of your life. The flesh wars against the Spirit, and it doesn't want to have anything to do with God because it has itself as its center. And that's the primary reason why we struggle. And there are other forces that move our flesh against us, encourage our flesh to war against our spirits. From our text this morning, James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil, in another way we could describe devil, I think it's Satan. One way his name is literally translated is adversary. He's against God. And he's against you, but he'll pretend to be your friend. For one reason, to pull you away from God. And so his goal, if we can encapsulate everything that he's trying to do as far as your life, is to try to persuade you or pull you away from the will of God. He wants to keep you off your knees. He wants to keep you out of the Word. He wants to keep you from shining your light. He wants to keep you from a life of obedience. And so he's encouraging that old nature. And then there's the world that we live in. James chapter 4, verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? This world is not our home. And if I read 1 John chapter 4 correctly, the Bible says the spirit of Antichrist is at work in the world now. And it doesn't understand the actions of the believer. It doesn't understand why you want to go to church or pray, why you don't want to do certain things, and why you want to do other things. And within the world is the desire to pull you back into their way of doing things. Not only are there, you know, are there people who don't know God and don't want to serve God, and we need to pray and, of course, share Christ with them, and hopefully they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're working if I could use the term, anti-witnesses against Christ and trying to win people who know Christ back into the world. So we got all these pressures. And submission hits us in three different areas. The first area is things that we don't want to do. Either the Holy Spirit moves upon our heart, or the Word of God moves us to a particular course of action, and we don't feel like doing it. This could be in the area of worship, as far as praying, or studying our Bible, or things of that nature. Praising God, coming to church, important part of worship, giving. And the thing about that, listen, if you do those things only when you feel like it, you're not really doing those things the way God has called you to do those things. So there's acts of worship, but then there's also service. You know, God has not just called us to minister to Him. God has called us to invest our lives in other people. And there's sometimes we want to do that, and there's sometimes we don't want to do that. Various reasons. Either we're not comfortable investing our time with a certain group of people. Maybe God has called us to work with children or senior citizens or whatever it might be. We don't want to do that. Or it might be a particular individual. I don't, you know, Jonah's kind of the poster boy for that. God called Jonah. If you read his story in the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, God called Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh, and he resisted. He did not submit himself, and it wasn't because he didn't like to preach. He was a prophet. It was because he didn't like Ninevites. They were lousy to his people, the Israelites, and so he didn't want to minister to them. And so God might move us to do something, and sometimes we do it, but sometimes we don't, because we just don't want to do those things. We don't feel comfortable in doing those things. Second area of submission that we have difficulty with are things that we don't want to give up. There are things in our lives that we enjoy that God says are not for us. Now, some things are obvious and some things are sin. How many understand after you accept Christ as your Savior, the struggle with sin doesn't end? Nobody does, okay. Well, guess what? It doesn't. We still struggle with sin, and some sin we like. And in some believers' minds, they feel okay if they have a little sin in their lives because, you know, I'm keeping all these other commandments. Kind of like the rich young ruler who came to see Jesus. You know, God, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Well, you know, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor, you know, keep the commandments. These all I have done since my youth. I am such a great guy. And then Jesus said, well, sell all you have and give to the poor. And he couldn't do that. There was this one area that he could not submit himself before God. And sometimes that's our disposition towards sin. You know, God, look at all the things I've given up, but there's this one thing I enjoy that I know that is wrong. That it is something between me and you. It's against God's Word. It's against my conscience. But I just enjoy it too much. And I refuse to give it up. But as far as giving up things, sins aren't the only things that God calls us to give up. Sometimes even good things, normal things, God calls us to give up. 1 Corinthians 6:12 tells us, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You might recognize this verse more in the King James Version. All things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. You know, in our lives, there are some things that are not sin, that are okay to do. It's not in the Ten Commandments. You can't find anything against it in Scripture. But it's not God's will for your life. You know, one thing that comes to mind, you know, Jesus talks about singleness in the body. And I'm not saying this towards anyone. But in the Bible, he refers to them as eunuchs. And he said there are some who are eunuchs for the kingdom. God calls some people to singleness, not everyone. In fact, I think most people God hasn't called to singleness. I'm not going to go down that road anymore if I get into trouble. But for some people, in fact, there was an evangelist who just passed away. His name was Stefan Gulius. He went to Romania. Never married. And there was a reason why he never married, because he couldn't be married and do the things that God had called him to do. And now he's with the Lord, bless God. And was able to do great things before God. Nothing wrong with being married, but it wasn't for him. And there are other things in our lives, you know. That's just one thing. And the problem is, and this can be a particularly difficult area of submission, and it might not be that. I mean, it may be some other thing, foregoing some kind of recognition or a different career, because it's just not God's will for you. And what really can make that difficult is when you see someone else who knows Christ, who's serving God, who's being blessed by God, who has those things. And the Spirit of God says that it's not for you. I'm calling you to something different. And that can be very, very difficult as far as submission. Yielding our will before God. And then yielding or submitting to other people. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, submission and the calling of submission is not something that is solely towards Christ. It's something that we're to demonstrate with each other. And there are some people that we have no problem submitting to. And I have to tell you, this is something that I have struggled with in my life. There's some people I have no problem with submitting to them. But there are other people that I've had a problem submitting to them, and I've had to really pray and ask God, not to help them, to help me. Because maybe I didn't agree with them or respect them. But if we're to love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, and soul, the Bible says we're also to love our neighbor as ourselves. And part of loving our neighbor as ourselves is being able to submit to one another in the fear of God. So submission sounds easy until we actually take a closer look at it. And a lot of times we go through life and we think that we're submissive, but we're really not. But Scripture gives us a test. We can examine ourselves to see whether or not we're truly submissive people. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 gives us this test. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. What is this whole chapter dealing with? James chapter 4. It's dealing with being submissive. In fact, this scripture, these few verses, really describe or define for us a selfish spirit. But not just what a selfish spirit is. It's just seeking for self. It is willful. It is stubborn. It's not willing to yield to anyone or anything, including God. It not only shares what it is, but also the signs or the symptoms or the outflow of being non-submissive. Dissension, unanswered prayers, and generally speaking, a life marked by frustration. A lot of people are frustrated in life. Why? Because they're always fighting God. God is always moving them to move in a particular area of service or obedience, and they refuse. And so they go through life frustrated because they're not where God wants them to be, and they know it. And they're not at peace. So what do we do? Are we therefore condemned to be men and women, slaves to our own rebellious spirit? Or can we? Or is there a way that we can yield ourselves to God despite the fact that, our own flesh is against us, the enemy against us, and the world that we live in is against us? Jesus said, with man it may be impossible, but with God all things are impossible. Very quickly, becoming submissive is attainable. And of course, becoming submissive, one of the ways that we adopt that submissive spirit is being spiritually minded, the basics of just serving Jesus. Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. You want to have a spirit that is submissive to God? Lay aside that frustration of living in your self-will and walk closely with the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day. You know, the scripture that comes to mind is John the Baptist. Not that John the Baptist was a willful, stubborn person. He wasn't. You can tell by the way he lived. He was someone completely devoted to God. But something he said speaks to us as far as our yieldedness to God. When Jesus Christ began his ministry, and then people began following Jesus instead of John, and Jesus had more disciples than John, and John's disciples came to him and said, more people are following him. His response was, he must increase, I must decrease. Listen, if you're spending time with Jesus, real time with Jesus, every day, you're making your relationship with Christ a priority. You can't help become more submissive because more of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is upon you, and that old man or woman that's left within you is getting weaker and getting closer to the point of death and less influence in your life. Spending time with Christ. So many people, it's so basic, it's so simple, but so many people don't do it. They neglect their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they wonder why they're so frustrated and miserable with God. Secondly, and that's just the basics, and that's everything, being spiritually minded. But then a necessary, essential quality to being submitted before the Lord Jesus Christ is being humble. And humility comes easier to some people than others. But all of us struggle with it. I know that's, I would say one of, I don't know, I have a lot of chief struggles in my life, but. And to develop humility in our lives is something that we need to practice. James 4, verses 8 through 10. The Bible says, "Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up." You know, when I read that, especially that last part, how does someone humble yourself? How do you make yourself humble? Well, sometimes it's a matter of putting into practice in your life what you don't feel in your heart yet. Kind of the way we approach other sins. You know, if a sin has got a hold of my life, what do? Number one, I repent of it. I confess it before God. God, forgive me of that sin. And then, of course, repentance literally means to turn. Then I turn away from that sin. And even though I might still want to sin, you know, I've shared how many, many years ago I liked to drink, but I knew drinking wasn't for me. I knew it was wrong for my witness, not good for my health. And as a man of God, both as an individual and a minister, I was not to drink. But when I recommitted my life before God, I didn't want to give up beer because I enjoyed it. And it was tough. You know, it wouldn't be nice. It's no problem now, believe me. It hasn't been a problem for years. But you turn away from it. Why? That's the act of repentance. You stop doing what you shouldn't be doing, and you start doing what you should be doing. And we do that as far as humility if our issue is pride. I confess I'm a prideful person, and so, God, I'll begin to do the deeds of humility. Which actually can be boiled down to just this, treating others with respect and deference, even when we don't want to. And that, and you know the greatest person to really execute this, to really put this into practice, it is, you know, the cashier at that store that I didn't want to talk about, who maybe is fumbling, bumbling, or that person that you know in your heart you have the hardest time showing respect to. Give them honor. Show them respect. Show them deference. Treat them as you would the President of the United States or some other dignitary. Put into practice what should be in your heart. Take that step of faith. And as you confess before God your sin, and as you step out in faith and put it into action and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to empower you and change you, He will. Of course, a very important part of being humble is examining yourself. And I want to close here very, very shortly. Is examining yourself through the lens of Scripture. Romans 12, verse 3 tells us, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Let me tell you, a very key point in living humbly is as you read the Word, examine your life before it. And the Word is not condemning. The Word is freeing. When I read the Word, one way it's freeing is it frees us from pride because it shows us areas that we need to grow and develop. I'd like to ask our musicians to come. And I'd just like to share with you something recent that happened in my life. There's things that we do that teach us can help us to develop submission, you know, being spiritually minded, putting into practice. examining our lives in Scripture, but there's also the unseen hand of God, and God wants to develop a submissive spirit within you. And many of you know my story of the past 4 years with cancer, and God has been just so gracious. And just, you know, 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. It's very serious, and most people don't make 5 years. And I'm 4 years, and I'm doing great. And 2 years ago, I was able to stop chemotherapy, which was wonderful. But every other week, I have to have a treatment, a therapeutic treatment. And if you know me and talk to me, and all the nurses at my doctor's office know that I do not like doing the treatments, and I don't make that point hidden. And I say that to my shame. And for various reasons, it's not chemo, so it doesn't have the same effects, but it does have side effects. It takes up, you know, every other day off that I have, I'm at the doctor's office. And I go home and sleep, which isn't great. And so, you know, I'm frustrated with that. And I make that known, you know, and I don't see God in that, but a short time ago, you know, God really convicted me and opened up my eyes that I'm fighting this instead of just accepting it and moving on. And when I got to that place, okay, God, I'm not going to complain about this anymore. I'm going to stay on these treatments as long as you'll have me stay on them. I know it won't be forever, and I don't mean that as far as I know someday I'm going to die. It's obvious, but I know it will come to an end. I just don't know when. I didn't think it would be this long, but God, I'm not going to fight it anymore. I'm not going to make myself miserable nor anyone else. And I really felt God speak to me, you know, I'm not only on these treatments to keep me healthy, but I've also learned a valuable lesson in that, not just as a pastor, but as a man of God, I'll be put in situations where God will want me to do something that I don't want to do, and I can spend time moaning and complaining and kicking and fussing about it, or just accept it. And He used that, my treatments, to open my eyes to that and bring me to a greater understanding of what being submissive is. And you know, that's something I didn't really bring out in the message. Being submissive isn't only doing what God wants you to do, it's doing it joyfully. Not kicking and screaming and moaning and complaining, because you don't bring glory to God or joy to yourself or anyone else when you do that. So now, I'm not going to worry about it. Whatever God has called me to do, whether I like it or not, I'm just going to accept it and do it and move on. And not allow an unsubmissive spirit to bring me to a place of misery. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our hearts together this morning. I'd just like to say two things. First, there might be those who are here today and you're fighting God. You know that you're fighting God. And you've been very, very frustrated. Let me tell you, there's only one way to be set free from that, and that's to submit yourself to God. Give up. He won't make you give up, but let me tell you, just as in the life of Jesus and just as in my life, in many areas of submission, if you give up to God, whatever you're holding on to, it's not worth what God has in store for you on the other side. Give it up to God, and you'll be so happy in the name of Jesus. In fact, you know, I personally feel as I'm closing this morning, and there are some here that you've reached a plateau in your spiritual life, and the reason you've reached a plateau is because there is an area or areas of your life that you have not submitted yet to God. But let me tell you, you submit them today, or whenever you submit them, you're going to have a breakthrough that you've been really wanting. Deep down, you've really wanted in your life. Secondly, there may be those who are going through unwanted situations in your life. And it may be a sickness, it doesn't have to be. It could be you're miserable at your job or some other situation, very unpleasant. And I'm not saying all unpleasant situations are lessons from God. Sometimes they're results of mistakes we've made. Sometimes it's the assault of the enemy. But sometimes it is God trying to teach us things, and sometimes it's God trying to teach us submission. God might want to be forming submission within you, and all I say is just ask God to speak to your heart. God, is this something you're using to try to show me about my own heart, my own character?